Well, we're continuing with our July theme for the Centers for Spiritual Living, which is spiritual living through open communication. We love open communication. And as the quote from Centers for Spiritual Living says, we communicate openly with each other in an atmosphere of collaboration and inclusion. And today's topic is open heart before opening mouth. That's the holy pause, isn't it? You start to go, what'd you say? Mostly in traffic. That's a good point. Yes. I found out, we just got back from New York, that they really do drive with their horns. So, I love this quote from Rumi. Listen, clam up your mouth and be silent like an oyster shell. For that tongue of yours is the enemy of the soul, my friend. When the lips are silent, the heart has 100 tongues. So it's like, take a pause. Let's just wait a minute. And Jesus said, when you pray, go into the closet and shut the door. Let's go more deeply into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment before we share what it is that we want to say. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of participating in a Zoom practitioner orals mock paneling. Next week, we'll be doing the real deal, where the practitioner interns all come together who are ready to do their oral exam. They've passed everything else. And then the ministers and the practitioners who've been assigned to their panels get to ask them questions and support them as they're going through the process. And it was wonderful to do this mock paneling so they get a sense of what's going to happen. And I'm always so impressed with the enthusiasm and the passion, as well as the compassion of the practitioner students, as well as the practitioners who then become licensed. And you see, the practitioners are taught, we teach them to listen to the story, the human condition, with these two ears. At the same time, I've got a row of them right here, at the same time that they're opening their heart to listen to the truth. So there's compassion in hearing what the condition may be, what's going on with a person's life that's been troublesome, or something they want very much that they've been jonesing for. And that's wonderful to hear, to acknowledge what the need is, what the challenge may be, and yet at the same time, to see through that to the truth. Like the little lady down south, and by the way, we've got Sarah's grandson, Tommy, who's here from the south. Did I say Tommy?
Thomas.
Thomas. I'm thinking of an engine. Sorry, you're much too old for that. I have some grandchildren still in the Thomas the Engine stage. Delighted that you're here, Thomas. That there was a little old lady down south who sat in her rocking chair. Some of you have heard this story. And she was known to make people feel better. If they had a problem, they had a challenge going on, they had a fuss with somebody, they'd come and sit on the rocker opposite her rocker on her front porch. Everybody down there have front porches? Some people. And she'd just sit there rocking as the person would be pouring their heart out about all the horrible things going on in their lives. And she would just sit there rocking. And then they'd get up and feel so much better all the time. Under her mouth, under her speaking, she was going, "Tain't so, tain't so, tain't so." Because she wasn't buying it. She was not buying that the story was the reality of them. Sometimes without a word, we can change the entire atmosphere. You see, we're co-creators in this life. We co-create with God. That's what we were designed to do. And we do it with our word, whether the word is an audible one or whether it's the word within our consciousness and within our hearts. And so we have the ability to change the entire atmosphere of the room by simply walking into it with a consciousness of perceiving the truth, the reality, the divinity within all the humanity. We can do that. We can do it every day. We have an opportunity to change the world and make it better for everyone, no matter what is going on. And there's plenty of stuff going on. But we can't afford to get ourselves caught down into the kitchen condition. I want someone to tell me if they're coming to me for treatment, because a minister, first and foremost, is a practitioner. Most important thing we do. But I want someone to tell me when they come to me, what's the earth picture, so that we can bring in the heaven picture? What does it look like out here, so we can get a sense of what's the opposite of that and work there? We want to work to see from the heart, to see from the heart of reality with the eye of unity, with the heart of authenticity, with the ear, that third ear. So first we listen to spirit, and then we speak, and then we pray. Communication begins where? Within the heart. And you can communicate without a single word. I recently heard a story you may have heard, supposedly a true story, I love it, about a man who checked into a hotel with a young man. And the young man was very quiet and rather pale. And they checked in, and they went to dinner, and in the restaurant, the son ate very little. It was his son. He ate very little. And he didn't seem as though he felt happy, enthusiastic, energetic. And so he went up to the room, and the father came back down, and he asked the manager. He said, "I wonder if you would be ask your staff to be sensitive to something about us in the morning when we come down to breakfast. Because we're here, we came to this city for medical treatment for my son. We're not sure whether he's going to be able to move through this physical challenge or not. And he's decided that he's going to be very brave. He knows he's going to be losing his hair along the lines, that he's going to shave his head tonight. And he says, I'm going to shave mine tonight too. And I just want you to give your staff a heads up so that they understand what this is about and they aren't surprised by it." And so he said, "Yes, sir, of course. We'll be very, very compassionate and supportive." Well, when they came down for breakfast in the morning, all four of the male servers had shaved their heads as well. Now that's communication without a word. It's opening our hearts to one another in such a way that the message is so clear it cannot be mistaken. And I know that you have, this has been all over the internet for some time, about the woman who was seated, I don't know if it was a woman or a man, a person seated in the sidewalk who was blind. And there was a sign, I'll make her a woman. But I know it happened because I've seen it all over the internet. It has to be true, right? And her sign said, "Blind, please help." And she had a can to put some money in. And there was very little in it. And there was a marketing person who came walking by on this busy street and looked down and looked around and thought, this isn't right. So she came back and took a dark marker and turned the sign around, wrote something on it, and went away. And when she came back later, people were pouring money in that pot. And the woman was so happy. She knew all this money was coming in, and she didn't know why. And so she asked the marketing person, not knowing it was a marketing person, "What did you write on my sign?" She said, "I simply wrote, 'It's a beautiful day. You can see it, but I cannot.'" Now, those were written words, oral words, written words, no words at all. We can communicate with people in such a way that our hearts are open first, and then we can connect and lift people's hearts. When I was going to school, Berkeley, I would go out at lunchtime, I'll run down Telegraph Avenue and get something, and there was a woman with her dog seated out in front of the little cafe where I was running in to get a sandwich. And she had a can out for some money. And I don't have any rules about that. I do what my heart tells me to do at the time. So I went in and I got two sandwiches. And I came out and sat down with her with an invitation. You know, "May I sit with you?" "Yes, please do." I said, "I got too many sandwiches. Can you help me with this?" She said, "Sure." I said, "I don't know if it's tuna or chicken. What do you think?" "I think it's this." So she gave one to her dog, ate the other one, and we sat there with a human connection. There are ways that we can be with people that is respectful and loving and compassionate. We dive deeply into spirit, which happens to dwell within us as well as all around us in every place. For as the children say, there is no spot where God is not. We experience that divine communion. It is our communion, that and hugging each other. I had an Episcopal priest friend in my first church in Northern California, and we got to know each other quite well. And he said one day, he says, "You know, Maxine, you folks aren't so far out. I think you're actually pretty far in." And he says, "You do have communion. I've seen you hug each other." So our communion comes first by that inner connection that is possible for all of us to attain through our meditation, through our quiet times, through our walks in the woods. And boy, have we got pretty ones around here. And then from that place where we want to go often to visit, especially when things get a little dicey, take that pause. If somebody has said something, done something, or on the road, acted in a way that, yeah, "Oh, it's not you, it's her." "Oh, okay." "It's not her, it's you." Good. I love holy confessions. That just stop, take that holy pause. Let's not react. Let's respond heart to heart, divinity to divinity, through all the human stuff that we come up with. Let's take that breath. Dive deeply into spirit. Take the breath. Connect so completely with the infinite spirit of love within us that we are being instructed from within. Let's be humble enough to be instructed from within before we speak, before we act. We want an intention to communicate from the deepest and the highest level of truth. And the more we set that intention and the more we practice it, the better our worlds become. We're always creating and co-creating conscious relationships. Aren't they much better than the unconscious ones? Reverend Mike and I were in New York this last week. We were there for the 4th of July and 2 days following, and oh, was it fun. I have always loved New York. This was Mike's third time there, and he is all in, totally in. He is a New Yorker now. You should see him walk across streets. And I know the first time I went there was in the 70s, and I had heard about it all my life because my father was born in Brooklyn, my parents were in vaudeville, they were on the Orpheum circuit. I heard about, you know, the Rockettes, and I could already wait to get there. And the person that I went with then in the 70s said, "Oh, you're not going to like it. You know, it's dirty, the people are rude, you know, it's crowded, it's no fun, everybody's impolite." And I went, don't do that. I've waited all my life to go here. I know it's a wonderful place, New York. And so got off the plane. People were greeting us warmly. Taxi driver was wonderful. Everywhere we went, the people were great. My companion is looking around saying, "Oh, streets look better than they used to." Everywhere, and the same. This is, and I was always told, don't make eye contact. It's like, you don't tell me not to make eye contact, yeah? And people respond, smile back. So it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. And some of the most wonderful part about it, because we were just total tourists. We did the hop-on, hop-off bus. We did the harbor cruise, 4th of July, with all the fireworks, with all kinds of people, all different languages, everybody different shapes and sizes and colors. And it was fabulous. And to be in the Empire State Building with people going, "Oh, wow, this is what you do here." It's amazing. And the best part was we had in the same room sometimes or in the same bus, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Christians even, Buddhists, religious scientists. It was so wonderful. And Mike, I have a little Jewish cousin, June, who lives in Rockland County. And she took the bus down the last day we were there, and we met her there. We went to Bryant Park. We walked into the park, and they're doing show tunes. And, I mean, New York is a fabulous place. And so then we had lunch at the Bryant Grill, whatever. It was fabulous. Again, all the people. And we, all three of us were talking, saying, "This is a microcosm." And she's going, "Yes. This is the microcosm of the way the world can be, because we're consciously creating it that way." That was the best part. I mean, everything was fun and wonderful, but the best part was acknowledging everybody getting along so beautifully, honoring, respecting each other. And it's funny because people are going to have different opinions, have you noticed? We were in the elevator coming down one morning and from our hotel, and there was a Japanese couple there, and I was pretty sure they were Japanese, so I don't speak Japanese, but I said, "Good morning." Oh, it was the day after the 4th of July. I said, "Good morning. Did you enjoy the fireworks last night?" And the gentleman said, "No English." So I said a little something, and then I said, "You're Japanese?" "Yes." I said, "I don't think you're Korean." He goes, "Oh, Japanese, yeah. Korean, bad." Everybody has opinions. And yet, such open-hearted willingness to be with each other. Be with each other. Now, can you and I begin this in our own homes and offices and neighborhoods, please? What is your response to that? Yes, please. I know you're already doing it. You know, I'm preaching to the choir, but we remind each other, right? We remind each other. A gentle response. Take that holy pause. Breathe for a moment. See who that person really is beyond the behavior. I know it isn't always easy to do that. But you know again what Rumi says. Out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase "each other" doesn't make sense. How are you going to heal the false separation, sense of separation that we see in the world today. How are you going to do that? I want y'all to go out there and fix it. How are we going to do our part to heal this false sense of separation? Well, the one way I know how to do it, and you already know how to do it, and we are all already doing it, is to open our hearts and listen and take a breath and see the beauty, the divinity, the glory, the genius within every person we meet. The Danes have a statement: speak to the king in the man and he will come forth. Or the queen in the woman. Speak to the divinity, even without a word. Behold the divinity within each other. And something shifts where a person is going to open up when you smile at someone else. They're very likely to smile back at you. But you know what? You have not wasted a thing if they don't. Not a thing. Why didn't she smile back at me? That's not how we do it. We just give it. Just generously, flagrantly. Give the love. Give the smile with no expectation of return. And you're probably going to get it. And that person who wasn't smiling back may have just had something terrible happen with a family member. Or may have been so preoccupied that they were halfway down the block after you had the encounter and realized, oh, somebody just smiled at me. Here comes somebody, I think I'll smile at them. You don't know. It's like dropping the pebbles in the water and watching it go out. So first we open our heart, and then we open communication. It isn't not only what are you bringing to the picnic today, because there's been a lot of buzz about that, but what healing energy, what clear, conscious, loving intention are we bringing to our brothers and sisters today? We can make the whole world a picnic. You know, the joy that we're feeling right now, just in anticipating, getting out of here and going and playing. I'm not in a hurry to leave, but I'm going to have a good time once I get there. Let's take that energy. Let's take the joy. Don't you think everybody in this world could use a little lifting up of joy? A little faith lift? Let's all go get a faith lift. And lifting the faith, making it prettier and more handsome, starts with a smile. Because most of you know what happens when you won't smile. Those of you who know, do you want me to tell you again?
Yes, please.
Okay. Maybe it's the last time, because it could be. All right. My teacher, Barney, taught me that there are many, many more muscles up here that make you frown than there are in the mouth that make you smile. Many more. So it's just good energy conservation to begin with, to smile more than frown, right? But here's something that Barney taught me that I've never forgotten. The people who just won't smile, that the mouth starts to turn down, and it goes down and down and down, and it turns into big hips. So don't suppress that smile. I don't know if it's true or not, but keep smiling. What are we going to bring to the larger picnic of this world? If there are ants, so what? If it rains a little, okay. We're going to go with the flow, and we're going to come from our hearts. And we're going to bring what we can bring, because we have a global vision. It isn't just Paoli. It isn't just Pennsylvania. It isn't just this country. But boy, we're ready to lift the consciousness here, aren't we? And it isn't just the world. I don't know who else lives on other planets, but let's lift them too. We have a global vision in the Centers for Spiritual Living. And as we expand and grow, we deepen our connection with Spirit here, each of us individually, and as a solid community, which we are, deepening and growing, look at the gifts we have to bring to the world. I'm ready to do that. Aren't you? Yes, please. Yes, please. Let's say with me, love and wisdom guide me.
Love and wisdom guide me.
I speak my highest truth with purpose.
I speak my highest truth with purpose.
With caring and with compassion.
With caring and compassion.
And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.